from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
With the Dan Levitard show earlier this week, and we touched on it briefly. It's sort of gone around the league like wildfire. There's been a lot of reaction, and I would say 80-20 has been defending Brian Flores versus supporting Tua.
I think there was a 617 texter, and this was what I was going to bring up, because I'm seeing a lot of people recirculating a 2018 article where Tua talked to ESPN, I believe, and said that his dad used to like beat him with a belt if he threw an interception and it made him better. So I just think if you're looking at things Tua has said in the past, and you're talking about whether it's his dad and how his dad treated him growing up and, mm-hmm. and his, to make him, quote, better. I don't agree with it, but that's what he said. And then having a coach like Nick Saban to now turn your tune and say, like, Brian Flores ruined you. I would think physical abuse is a bit worse than, you know, emotional.
Yeah.
And if you didn't like Brian Flores, just say you didn't like him.
Right.
The Dan Levitard show. I never know how to say it.
It's okay. He's
Jackson's, good flex, though.
Yeah. I would say the issue I have is that it's not, I totally get to his frustration. Like, that sounds like a miserable situation to be in. But we all, instead of just being mad about the fact that we weren't supported or believed in, we always want to find a further, you know, nefarious reason to be angry at somebody else. And I look at a guy like Tom Brady. I look at a guy like Wiggy. The story you told about Bill Parcells and how he just dressed you down and embarrassed you. There, you either are able to take it and move on and grow from it, or it's going to hurt you. And I don't think Tua's arrived in the way that he thinks he has. I side with Brian Flores. The only other side I'll give to this is that I think Gerard Mayo isn't trying to be Bill.
Right.
And I think Brian Flores was kind of.
There's a little, yeah, there was a little bit. The question I would ask Tua is, when things went well, did he praise you? Like, is he criticizing you because you're doing the wrong thing?
Right.
Right. So it's like, okay, like, that's part of coaching. You know, some coaches are a little bit more in your face and yelling and screaming and up. And I would always tell the stories between Belichick and Parcells. Very similar coaching style, in the sense of, you know where you stand. You mess up, you're gone. But the way they packaged it and presented it, different styles. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, if you did something well for Bill Parcells, you know, he's not going to go all overboard and do backflips for you. And he'll, hey, great job. Same with Belichick. But if you messed up, then he would get on your back. You know, he would definitely say some things. And Parcells had no filter the way he said it. But that's what I would ask Tua. Did Flores praise you when you did things well?
Right.
And that just comes with coaching. Like, that's the nature of the beast. That's why I always say that there are a lot of guys, and I know it's 80-20, but there are a lot of guys, and this is me pulling the Brady old man type of, there are a lot of guys in today's game that could not play in my era or the era before me. They just couldn't do it because mentally they've been brought up a different way.
And the other thing I feel like Wiggy and Courtney is different is that you were there, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But from all the, from following it, from every documentary, I mean, the Patriots of the last 20 years, maybe the most documented team in the history of American team sports. And it seemed like Belichick was hard, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
But at the peak of the dynasty, he was no more demanding than the teammates were. Like, Rodney was demanding,
right.
You know, Willie was demanding, Brewski was demanding, Vrabel, and it was different.
Right.
But there wasn't this huge chasm between the coach's set of demands and the team's. And I feel like what Tua is looking for, it's like, if I'm Tua right now, I have this Ferrari I've been given the keys to drive, mm-hmm. and I lost to an inferior Chiefs team in the playoffs.
Right.
And that's why the story isn't how mean your old coach was.
Mm-hmm.
The story is, how do I get to where Mahomes is? Like, I just find the approach to be backwards. If I were a fan of the Dolphins, I would not feel better about my future because Tua feels like he's being coddled.
And again, I'm just going to go back to what my lead was the other day, that it was like, if you go back to Brian Flores' last season there with Tua, mm-hmm. Tua was constantly looking over his shoulder to see, you know, the reports about Deshaun Watson, to hear that, you know, the team wanted Tom Brady, but then that didn't pan out. And then once that all got dismissed, Tua started playing really well. So I just think if you follow that narrative, it seems like a weird shot to take at a guy who's no longer your head coach,
right.
who is, you know, an assistant elsewhere.
Right. And I feel like I look at Bledsoe and Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I think Drew didn't like the approach of Belichick.
No.
Tom thrived under it. And there's just different people that are able to do things. But I look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
Which is weird because Drew
was drafted by Parcells.
And thrived on the Parcells.
Right.
So it's you know, like you said, Mahomes.
Those guys, I feel like they want to be challenged. They want to overcome things. There's just a different mindset. Like, I feel like in the other sport, Jaylen Brown, he wants to overcome things. He creates barriers that he can use to get him to a level of play that he has yet to reach. Like, I understand that we are in a world where we understand mental health, and we should. I think it's important. But there are certain lines of work and occupations
mm-hmm.
where it's just not designed for people who can't take negative feedback.
Yeah, that's you're right about that. And I also think when you start to look at the difference from in all sports, just the way that coaches, I think that's the hardest thing to do now in all sports, is especially at the younger level, the youth level, the high school level, the college level, is the coaches. That's why you see a lot more younger coaches, because they have to adapt to this new style of coaching. You don't see the guys that are like screaming and spits coming out everywhere in any sport, and they're grabbing people by the helmet, whether it's a Mike Ditka or was a, you know, why am I drawing a blank on the Indiana basketball coach right now?
Bobby Knight,
right? You don't see those style of coaching no more. Parcells, even Belichick kind of had to adapt a little bit. But some of those in-your-face style of coaches that were big back in the day in all levels of sports, which helped a lot of guys. Like, I'm sorry, in life in general, you either are going to be somebody who can deal and get up from the adversity, or you're somebody who can handle it and lays down.
And a guy like Brian Flores, read his life story.
Mm-hmm.
That guy has dealt with legit, serious adversity. The fact that he even made it to Boston College and into the NFL as a coach just at a base is an amazing achievement.
And that's probably part of his coaching style, is the way he was able to overcome all that stuff. So he
And he spoke so eloquently about that during the George Floyd protests. Yeah. Like, his story is amazing. And I also think it's really good to look at the beginning with Wiggy and the end with Bill and the two sides of the dynasty. Because I think you touched on this while we were watching the Apple series, which is you had guys like Vrabel and Brewski and Rodney and Ty and you and Willie and Tom who were definitely adversarial at times with Bill, but by and large were receptive and grateful for the coaching and where it brought them.
Right.
Then you have Danny Amendola, Rob Gronkowski, the New Age Patriot,
right,
and Tom, who were tired of it or didn't feel it was necessary.
Right.
And I think that's the generational divide. That's the generation of Tua. Right. And that's why this whole battle with Flores, I think, is part of the reason why Bill Belichick's not a head coach today.
Yeah.
And because players just don't want it, even if it's better for them.
Right. And you have to learn, like, you know, there are like certain, and I think Bill adapted to the way he did things.
He definitely did. He definitely had less practice. He was far more complimentary of guys like Cam Newton and other players.
But I would think, like, you know, like you see all these guys and great players. Like, Gronk is a great player.
Historically great.
But he's probably the best tight end to ever play the game.
Oh, you, then him.
Well, you know, we're close.
Okay.
But I don't know if he could play for Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could, you know, and I don't know if Bill, you know, I know Bill Parcells' style of coaching would be, I don't know if it would work today. But I, you know, you start to wonder, like, but I know that guys like, I know Mark Bavaro could play for any coach today, or Ben Coates, or, you know, some of those great players and be successful. I don't know how many players could go back and play under some of those coaches and have the same type of success, because mentally it might get to them, which would then, you know, just turn them around or put them in a different element of kind of the way they see the game, and they don't have enough. And I don't want to use the word mental toughness, because people get butthurt when you say that.
I don't think I mean, as somebody who's got more mental issues than most, I don't think that that's offensive in any way. And I think that But in the same way that Tom Brady talked about the way in which we have quarterbacks ready, that we've dumbed everything down, it starts in high school, goes through college, where the player today, like your kids today that are practicing, are not having the same difficult coaching that you did at Georgia 20 years ago.
And I don't think they would be able to handle it.
Right. So, but if you can't handle it in college, then when you get to the NFL, you sure as hell aren't going to
handle it. And that's why you see a lot of these coaches that are now in the NFL, they're starting to, you know, the old school mentality of coaching is no longer exist. I mean, how many coaches, other than really Bill Belichick, which was, he was probably the last of a dying breed, him and, but that old school, real hardcore mentality, even like Pete Carroll, player's coach.
I was just going to say about Pete Carroll, because I think a lot of people lump him into the Bill Belichick situation, and he's not like that. And I actually saw the other day that he was asked about coaching, and he's like, yeah, I still have it in me to coach, but I don't have that desire anymore to do so.
Pete Carroll.
Like Bill Belichick.
Well, but it's true. Like, it must be so frustrating. And this is where I respect Bill immensely, where he did something a certain way, and he had more success than anybody who's ever done that thing.
It never changed.
And it's like, in a way, you have to respect that, because he wasn't going to change his principles based on the inability of those he's coaching to adapt to his.
Yeah.
And I find that, I mean, I don't know what it means long term, but I was somewhat heartened to see that the Tua reaction wasn't overwhelmingly against Brian Flores. And I think that's because Brian Flores has a pretty damn good reputation across the NFL.
I think that's it. Because, like, even with Dan Campbell, I mean, he has...
He's more of a caricature.
Yeah, he doesn't have that... He has that old school look, but when you hear him talk, it's kind of the new age thought process. When you kind of see the way he communicates with his players and those type of things, it's just it's interesting to see the way the level of the game has changed with some of these players and some of the things that they say. And, you know, you're right, Courtney, maybe the way his dad coach them to, if you can get through that, like, you should be able to play for Brian Flores. There is a great interview with Jalen Brunson and his video of his dad, Rick
Brunson. On the Knicks,
and his dad, Rick Brunson, who's a local guy, and training him when he was younger and, like, really pushing him and, you know, on his back and saying things. And Jalen Brunson talks about how that helped him to obviously accomplish what he's been able to accomplish.
Right.
So there's still a few of those guys out there, but you have to be careful how you handle a lot of the younger players today, because you could lose them mentally, like we see with so many players.
But part of growing, the other word, is pains. And in order to grow, it has to be difficult on some point, on some level. And I'm hopeful that Jerod Mayo can use all he learned from Bill and then learn and know the ability that he has to translate in terms of communicating with the players in a way that they can both understand, appreciate, and grow under. So we'll see. It's going to be tough. But if you have thoughts on Tua and the coaching style of the NFL and, you know, the wussification of America, 617-779-7937. The chief baseball officer, the number one thought partner of Alex Cora, Craig Breslow, joins us in 40 minutes, but right now, here's Courtney with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Sox take another one against the Astros, 4-1, the final on the road. They take that series 2-1, and we've talked a lot about the Sox bullpen. Alex Cora was happy with them coming through in this win, as featured on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Today, they did an amazing job. We're going to trust them. As you know, bullpens, they go, you know, you struggle for a week and then you give us 15 good outings, and that's what we're trying to accomplish here. You know, Garcia was amazing. Zach did his job. Bernie got his out, and we did a good job overall.
Hurry in and save big on a new Nissan at the Nissan End of Summer Sales event. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com. The Sox off tonight before taking on the Diamondbacks tomorrow at Fenway. And Jerod Mayo spoke to media yesterday about the starting quarterback situation. Jacoby Brissett remains QB1 for now. He said he'll know who will start in week 1 by Monday night. Another day of practice for the Pats today, closed to the public but open to media at 1 p.m. ahead of the Pats preseason finale on Sunday against the Commanders. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. And that's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm watching Get Up, and they have Dan Orlovsky on. They had his bio. Don't you think the bio should include something embarrassing?
Like, it like one say, interesting fact.
Right, like it says, like, 10-year NFL vet thought end zone was 11 yards.
Yeah.
60 degrees and sunny afternoon high of 7.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
25. Rod Mayo yesterday meeting the media regarding the status of the quarterback battle, the biggest story in Boston sports today.
Mm-hmm.
And I said yesterday, heard it elsewhere, I said yesterday that there's no way the decision of May versus Brissett is Jerod Mayo's alone. That the entire organization, from Robert and Jonathan all the way through Jerod Mayo and Alex Van Pelt and, you know, the ticket guy that Volan talked to, this is an organizational decision, just like I don't think it was Elliot Wolf's decision alone to draft Drake May at 3. It would be poor business sense if you mm-hmm. didn't have everybody weighing in, because literally nothing else matters. If Drake May is properly coached, developed, and can play, the organization is in good hands.
And I think we saw when it wasn't a full collaborative effort how poorly it went when it seemed like it was Mac Jones was a craft pick.
Great point.
We saw that fall apart.
Totally.
Almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it needs to be collaborative for everybody to be on the same page. When one person strong arms the others, it's never going to work, especially with such an important position like quarterback.
But see, it's easy to be collaborative when the guy that you, when there's really no competition. When the guy that is Jacoby Brissett hasn't done what you thought he might do, is there anybody in that room that goes, play Jacoby Brissett? It's not like there's a real competition. So
no.
It's easy to be collaborative in that sense. If Jacoby Brissett was playing great, then now it's a little bit more difficult to collaborate, because there might be some guys who are like, well, Jacoby gives us the best chance of winning. And then you might have guys that go, well, we drafted this guy. So that's where I think the collaborative thing is more about when you look at and you go, okay, we all agree on it and it becomes easy to collaborate. The difficult part becomes when Jerod Mayo goes, well, I know we want to take a quarterback, but we should take Marvin Harrison or Elliot Wolf. That's when it becomes a little bit more difficult in the sense to collaborate. But I think it's an easy decision for them when you look at this whole situation.
Well, it's easy, but it's also what the mistake was when they had Bill here and they drafted Mac at 15 wasn't the pick. And it was, I'm sure Robert had a big say in it. I mean, mm-hmm. I think Ken was early on that, and he was right. But the issue became that this player was, you know, Jonathan Kraft's decision. This player was Bill Belichick's decision. And there were these internal battles of who was getting the right playing time.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree that Bill did what he could to derail Mac's career with his buddies and all that. What I think collaboration means today is that there's going to be a room full of people, whether mm-hmm. it's 2, 4, 6, however many.
Right.
And they're going to leave when they have a unanimous vote.
Right.
About the direction of the organization.
Right.
Because they are no longer going to have people in the same boat paddling in different directions.
Right. And I think with like Mayo, because he's a defensive guy, I could see why he would go, all right, I have a say, but I
hands
would,
off.
But I would defer to Alex Van Pelt and say, hey, is he ready to go? what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ready. Okay, let's play him. If Mayo was an offensive guy, then he might have a little bit more of a different, he might be a little bit more of, no, yes, or whatever, because he's around them all the time. He understands that. But when you're on the other side of the ball and you're the head coach, I think you try to leave it into the offensive coordinator's hands. The same way with Bill did with Josh McDaniels and, you know, and Matt Patricia to a certain extent.
How did it change for you when Drew went down? And so you have a guy that was a Pro Bowler, highest paid quarterback in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and you're 0-2, and then Tom comes in. Does everybody just work harder? Is there any differences that you noticed? Like, what's the difference between this organization and the players on the team preparing like Brissett's the starter and Drake May? Is it not different at all?
I think that it's different in the sense where some players might look at it and go, oh, he's a better athlete. He gives us more of a chance to, you know, do this. If a play breaks down, he has the capability to extend the play. You know, maybe we could add more nakeds and bootlegs and get him on the move. So there might be some players who look at it in that sense where he gives us a better chance to be able to do more things. You as a player, you're still going out there and you're still trying to make sure that quarterback has confidence in you.
Right.
But you still feel like when I was in Minnesota and Dante Culpepper was the quarterback and then he got hurt and Brad Johnson came in, I still had a good relationship with Brad Johnson, but Dante was able to do a little bit more when a play broke down to allow me and the other receivers to
more time to get open,
where, you know, you didn't have that same type of ability when Brad Johnson was the quarterback. If, you know, he wasn't escaping the pocket back, the pocket and you were able to kind of leak out and he'd give you a nice little check down.
So what do you think other players would rather, if they were on a lie detector test, who would they rather have as their starting quarterback week one? Somebody who's played before in the NFL or a guy that they want to grow with?
I think that it's probably Drake May, the guy that they want to go with and the guy that they feel like, all right, he probably gives us the best chance of winning. Because Jacoby Brissett, it's kind of hard. You know where it would almost be a little bit more difficult, like before we started seeing him play in practice, would be if they signed like a guy like Russell Wilson.
Right.
But before he started practicing, because you would think like, all right, if Russell Wilson could be the Russell Wilson of old, you know, then there might be guys might be like, oh, we should play Russell. Where I think where guys look at Jacoby Brissett and they have respect for him, but they probably like view him as like he's a backup.
But so have you been on a team where the quarterback that was playing was not the one that the players on the team wanted?
As I think about it, no, I was pretty fortunate. I was pretty fortunate to have mostly good quarterbacks that everybody wanted. You know, my first year in the league, it was Testaverde, and then, you know, it was Bledsoe and Brady. Jake Delhomme was cool. And
Dante.
So I never really had that issue of, oh, they should be playing this guy, not that guy.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm very interested to see the third preseason game. And I don't think I've said that many times. This is where we currently reside as Patriots observers.
Yeah.
This is where we are. But I am so hopeful that we get Drake May and we can live and die with the 20. I mean, he looks 15.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a learning curve. But I feel like the last 4 years have done a great sort of service for Drake May in that he's not the guy replacing Tom. He's not the guy coming into this fan base that has caviar taste and is waiting for a championship. I think Patriots fans have been surprisingly patient when it comes to understanding that this is not going to be a 13-win team. Mm-hmm. But I think the patience will wane if they don't see the organization playing the guy that is the future soon enough.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think a lot of those players in the locker room, because, you know, as I start to think back and remember, the biggest thing that players look at when they look at the quarterback and when you're in this situation and it's kind of like a competition is the guy who you go, oh, I got open, his arm's not strong enough to get the ball to me, or he doesn't have the type of zip on it where it gets me the ball where I can you know, take advantage and have some space to run. So I think those are the things that the players start to factor in. I think there were guys that when Drew got hurt, there were guys that, you know, kind of felt like, well, Drew gives us the best chance of winning just because of his skill set. You know, the way he threw the football, he had a better arm than Brady at the time. So there were guys that were probably like, oh, okay, he gives us the better chance of winning. But Bill went with the decision of, we're going with Drew.
Did you ever think about requesting 87 because Drew locked in on it so much when it was Coach that maybe if you had 87, he'd throw more balls your way?
No. We all find numbers. My original number was 89. That's the number that I always wanted because I was a huge Mark Bavaro fan.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the Jets and they gave me 85, I was like, all right, cool. And then I just kind of rode with it everywhere from there.
All right. Well, the Patriots Sunday night game three of their final preseason game will be against the Commanders. I wanted to mention this, Courtney. We ran out of time during the news. So I don't. There are days and ways that you can give a gift and have it be more insulting than giving no gift at all. We all agree.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, if somebody gave you in a box, a $3 Dunkin' Donuts gift card, you'd be like, thank you, but I can't even get breakfast.
Okay.
Like, there are certain gifts that are just
useless.
Useless.
All right.
So a guy worked at the McCarran Airport, which we famously remember, Courtney, Shime waited in a long line.
Very long line.
Very outraged. In Las Vegas for 27 years, which sounds like a new circle of hell. Dealing with people as a cashier of a fast food restaurant in an airport for almost 30 years. So Kevin Ford, he announced or told the company he was retiring. And they gave him a backpack stuffed with a movie ticket, a Starbucks cup, candy, and some chocolate.
After being there for how long?
27 years.
Oh, I did read, and I believe he didn't take a single day off.
Did not take a day off.
Yeah.
Wow.
27 years working every single day as a cashier at the airport, which people just lose their minds in
general. They're so rude. Yeah.
But are so rude because they have to get to their flight, they're running late. 27 years. And so thankfully, because of the world we live in, people found out about this story and he had a GoFundMe created for him and now he has $400,000 and he's buying
a house.
Yeah.
But how many people, I'd ask the question, how many people really get stuff when they, like, you know, I remember it was always like, oh, I got a gold watch, right? How many people really get stuff when they leave their work?
Not that many, but if I worked,
there are a lot of people, if they're working for a company though, and they, you know, have 25 to 30 years and they're, you know, an upstanding, employee.
They get what? Hey, a pat on the back and say,
oh, I don't know how they do it here at Nesson. They used to get, like, there was a level. If you reached certain level, you got this, like, you could pick from these different things. If you got to this level, you could pick from these different things.
Okay.
So, it's like watches.
Here, I mean, I don't know. Did they give anything? And wasn't Woodway here for a long time?
Yeah, they gave him several jobs. I mean, I wouldn't use radio, but if I worked here for 27 years and I didn't take a day off, I'd expect more than a movie ticket.
Yeah.
And a backpack. What am I going to do with a backpack?
But I wonder, that's why I think this is a kind of a cool conversation. Like, I would love to hear
from real people that
have, like, fake jobs. Like, real people who
right.
work.
Yeah, the people that actually do, you know, firefighters or teachers or whatever. 617-779-7937. I want to hear if you've received a gift when you left a job and what it was. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to that next. I just want to get to a quick call on the Pats before we get to the next segment. And then Craig Breslow at 9. Joe, what did you want to say about the Pats?
Hey, can I first time call a long time listener? I had to say it.
Thanks, Joe.
You know what? I'm thinking. What are your thoughts on it? I think they'd wanna not have a good like run this year and just get a better draft pick, knowing they don't get better. Say in 8-8, and I just think with Brissett, that gives them more of a chance to do that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
but I don't think Drake May wins you many games. Like, you know, even though he's better than Jacoby Brissett, I don't think he's going to – you put him in and all of a sudden you're going to end up, you know, 8-9.
No,
I still think you still have a really good chance with Drake May playing of only winning, you know, three or four games.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be worried about too many wins with either quarterback this year with this team. But I want to hear about your retirement gift. 617-779-7937. The Burger King cashier who worked 27 years at the Vegas airport without a day off was given a backpack with a Starbucks cup, a movie ticket, and candy. See if you can top that next. Jackson, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most stressed, where are you on rejoins with Greg and then rejoins with me?
I mean, 10 with Greg sometimes. But Greg is very, he's a one of a kind. He gets mad at stuff that he gets happy with the next day. You know what I mean? Like, it really depends on his mood, how he feels about the rejoins. Mm-hmm.
And I'd say a zero with you because we really...
Right.
Yeah, I
didn't ask you to insult Greg here, Jack. I don't...
It's not an insult. It's just he's very particular.
When you say someone's one of a kind and it's not attractive, it's generally an insult.
Well, I'm not insulting the man at all.
We haven't made one rejoin suggestion all show, so... I would say that's pretty... That's a nice stress relief.
I stay in my lane.
Jackson, yeah.
No. Jonathan Carr literally writes about me every day for 4 hours.
John, what up?
Curtis hates music for some reason. I love music. I just know what I don't know anything about. I don't know much about music. I was raised on this radio station, not on, you know, ZLX, so shoot me.
I love music, but you can't play the music I love.
very interesting commentary about people, what happened when they were working for a long period of time after the, if you just joined us, Greg will be back tomorrow. I am Chris Curtis in for Greg. I will be off from today, after today, until after Labor Day. And there was a gentleman who worked at the Burger King in the Vegas airport for 27 years without missing a day of work, and he was gifted a movie ticket, chocolate, and a Starbucks cup.
Can I read my favorite that I've seen on the text line?
Mm-hmm.
413 number. I was with a sports ticketing company, and every 5 years with the company, they gave us a six-week sabbatical to recharge.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I bet that's not the norm, though. Most places, it's like, here's a Tic Tac and a handshake.
Right,
yeah.
If you're lucky. Dave, what's up in New Hampshire? How are you?
Good morning. Love you guys' show.
Love you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So my dad's been working for the Fitchburg Post Office for 45 years. Well, 46 now, but last year they gave him a little tiny pin that said 45 years of service.
Jesus.
And that was it. He still works there. He's technically not retired yet, but I can imagine 45 years, he should get a little something better than a pin.
Right.
I would hope. I would say your dad probably would have rather nothing.
Right. You know what he should do is complain like the guy at the Burger King, and then people will send him $400,000 and GoFundMe.
There's a woman from Worcester on the text line right now who says her husband was at a company for a really long time. They gave lame gifts. He's gotten better gifts from the Kraft family for being a season ticket holder. So credit to the Krafts.
And I call Cap on the guy who said he never missed a day of work. Stop lying.
Yeah.
Please.
Let's go to Patty. Hi, Patty. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent.
So I spent my entire career from age 22 to age 58, teaching third grade, and was awarded on the day I retired a school bell, because that's what they give us. They give us an engraved, oversized, old-fashioned school bell.
Damn.
What?
Well, that's it. They don't give anything.
Where do you even... I mean,
I told you, people get nothing.
Yeah, that's
so
tough.
The fact that this guy was complaining about working, be happy. At least you got a movie ticket. You can go see something cool and a backpack. You can utilize it. But this poor lady, what could she do with a school bell? Or the other guy, his dad got a pin. I can at least utilize a backpack.
Let's go to Dan in Rehoboth. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Love your show. I worked with a guy that worked for a construction company for 30 years, and his last day, he got to, for half a day, they had him go and clean the nail room for his retirement.
What?
How do you like that?
Well, they had me do that after 2 years.
Clean the nail room. His last day.
Wow.
What an a-hole.
I told you, man. I told you. People don't get much, you know, the day. You used to see it on TV shows. You worked there for 30 years. What you get, Bob? Oh, they gave me this cool little Casio watch.
Right. I think it is true, though, because my dad, he's got all the texter who said the Patriot season ticket stuff, because he's got his, like, retirement stuff from Ernst & Young, and it's nowhere near what the Patriots, like, plaques and all that stuff
are. The Pats give the media really good gifts. Like, every Christmas we used to get, I mean, when I used to be down there, like, we would get really, really good gifts. The best was we got a nice bottle of red wine, and it was engraved with our name on it, and then it said, like, New England Patriots, you know, 2017, whatever.
Really?
Yeah, it was really, really nice. My parents still have the bottle, like, empty, but...
Of course. Bob in New Hampshire. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, guys. Enjoy the program. I thought I was listening to talk about it, and ironically, eventually, my wife will be retiring from a company called Raytheon. She will have 51 years, probably, and they're not going to give her anything.
Wow.
In addition to having a very lousy retirement, a very lousy healthcare and other things. So that's what this poor lady's going to get out of Raytheon. Jeez.
Oh, that's terrible, Bob. And Raytheon's a tough company. I mean, good for her for being there for so long. But that's that's big league if you work for Raytheon.
Absolutely. So we have Craig Breslow coming up in a couple minutes. I just got a text from Dante Scarnecchia.
Uh-huh.
Dante. So I made the point that you should have worn 87.
Uh-huh.
So Drew would have looked at you.
Uh-huh.
Dante says, one day Parcells made every receiver wear 87 for exactly that reason. How great is that?
That is good. Drew did look at me a lot when he was when he was my quarterback, so.
And he says, playing pickleball, don't call. Okay. Good morning to you, Dante. But that is, I mean,
that
Drew
is
was great. He did a great job, but he locked in on Coates.
I mean, it was Ben Coates. Ben Coates was the real 87 before Gronk got it. And, I mean, Ben was good. I'd lock in on Ben Coates, too.
Is he in the Patriots Hall of Fame?
Ben Coates?
He should be.
I think he is. I'm not 100% sure, but I would think that he is. He
single-handedly carried those teams.
He was inducted in 2008.
Yeah, okay, good. I used to love watching Ben Coates play.
And the Chris Berman nickname, Ben Wintercoats, one of his best.
Yeah.
All right, well, enough of that fun football retirement talk. We're going to get to baseball. The front office report with the chief baseball officer, Craig Breslow, is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.